Blog Talk Radio.
See Muhammad give you knowledge that you can't say pop it. He my father already here, let alone coming. Let every ear hear. He be blowing like a trumpet. I use my music like a gun and I'ma dunk it. Hey bro, I do this for my God and all he come. Yes sir, you best believe it. Make no assumptions. You trick or treat on Halloween, it ain't about pumpkins. You feed your mind the wrong thing and it be nonsense. He call you dead cause you kill your own conscience. The innocence and right and wrong in one's conduct. Rebel against Allah, who knows where you wind up. And for you devils, my God says your time's up.
That pool from my father, that heavenly water. Brother, stop being ignoring and start to be smart.
He took murderers and made a man and true father.
You just imagine what he can do. What if you rob?
He can show you how to eat to live if you bother. Show you how to see bringing fear with no problem. So many deviating be laying under the needle. The son of man, he's the son of the people. A result, a consequence, a interference. And he won't stop until we equal in appearance.
All of my people, all of my people, just wanna be equal, wanna be equal. I'm coming to get ya.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay.
Walaikum salam.
Okay. Are we experiencing some technical difficulty?
Is Minister Akbar on?
No, he's not yet. I'm calling the number a second time.
All right. Well, let's, if we can, just proceed with the show. And if he joins us, I don't know why he wouldn't, as he did say he would, but if there's some difficulty, unexpected difficulty he's encountering, let's move on with the show.
Okay. Brother Kareem?
Yeah, I'm here. Everything's moving. I've got the call going through. Okay, it says completed. Here we go.
4-4-2-2-4-3-3-8.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Did you have
right.
a startup song, Brother Kareem?
Yes,
he already played it.
I'm sorry?
Yes, ma'am. I started the show exactly as we always do. So you just need to move on into it.
Yeah, let's move on into it.
Okay. Well, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and we further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, and guide in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum alaykum.
Thank you, brothers. And it is also my distinct honor to present to you, because certainly he needs no introduction, my beloved brother, minister, and friend, a dedicated and loyal help to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and a gift to us in this nation in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our beloved brother and host, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for that gracious introduction once again, Sister Aziza, and to Brother Kareem. I want to extend the greetings to you and thank you for filling in, brother, as you always do in a time of need. You never fall short. And I thank Allah for you and your help, dear brother. And, of course, above all, we thank Allah for our listening and participating audience. It is you who makes this show what it is. Without your participation, your interest, your demonstrated interest, and the time that you sacrifice from whatever else you could be doing to be a part of this show, put on the new man, we cannot thank Allah enough for you. We're always appreciative. Tonight, we anticipate the arrival of our dear brother and student international representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, Student Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad. I don't know if he's experiencing some unforeseen difficulty in coming on. However, we will forge ahead and pray to Allah that if he is encountering any difficulty, that Allah will bless him and us to overcome it. Nevertheless, we forge on with the help of Allah, dealing with, of course, the theme of this show is put on the new man, but that theme is based upon the 52-week lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done, given by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we're never at a loss for subject matter to discuss. And, of course, you, our listening audience, we very much appreciate your weighing in on the subject matter. We know you have lots to say and perhaps many questions to inspire this conversation on this subject matter, the time and what must be done. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in installment 39, talked about the transgenic seed. And he explained that these are man-made seeds that have a chemical base that is definitely, definitely not to the advantage of our health, nor to the health of the original organic seed. And what he stated was, he drew a wonderful parallel as he compared the transgenic seeds found in the modern vegetation that corporations who have usurped farms from the farmers have now put in the vegetation, the genetically modified seeds, if you will. And he drew a wonderful parallel to that transgenic vegetational seed and the transgenic or made man, as the transgenic seed by its nature is disagreeable to live with in peace in a cooperative manner with the organic seed, because ultimately the transgenic seed will overcome, dominate, and destroy the organic seed. Then so it is with the transgenic or made people from the original. They are disagreeable to live with in peace. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated to us that that disagreeableness will increase as black people and others here in America cry out to the government, cry out to the American people, do something about the economy, provide jobs for us, when there are no jobs that can be provided for the broader community of America, that is the Caucasian community, as the Honorable, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said over 40 years ago, that America does not have enough jobs to supply her own people, let alone at the time of the writing, the 20 million or so black men and women of America who need jobs. And so he stated, realizing that fact, he said, the black man must do something for self or suffer the consequences. Well, it is an inarguable reality that we now are suffering the consequences as a result of not listening to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And even today, brothers and sisters in our listening audience, even in 2013, we still are not listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We still, many of us, and in many quarters, are trying to force ourselves into American society, crying out to be treated equal by whites. But how, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked, can we expect to be treated equal when we're not doing that which the broader society of America is doing? Every people that come into the shores of North America, no matter how they arrive, very shortly they will begin to build for themselves. They'll come in and we'll make mockery of them. We made mockery of the Chinamen. We made mockery of our Hispanic brothers and sisters. We made mockery of our Haitian brothers and sisters. I'm talking about the black man and woman of America who have been here longer than anybody else. But after a short period of time, there's something in our Haitian brothers and sisters, something in our Latino brothers and sisters, something in our Chinese, our Japanese, our Korean brothers and sisters that allows them to maximize their cultural sameness and overcome the petty differences in their community, focusing on the common goal of building something for themselves. What is lacking in us? That is the underlying and overriding question. What is lacking in us who have been here longer than any other ethnic people? Yes, I know we didn't want to come here. We didn't come on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. We didn't come seeking refuge from religious persecution as other immigrants did. No, we were round up, kidnapped, and chained and forced on ships, brought 9,000 miles to America against our will. Yes, all of that is true. And there must be some accountability on the part of those who are responsible, whether they be white, whether they be black, whether they be Arab, whether they be Jew. Everyone has had a hand in our condition, and therefore all must be held accountable to repair the condition that 400 years of slavery has rendered us in. However, truth has been trumpeted now for over 80 years, the truth that, if listened to, would free us from the mindset of dependence, that inferior mentality and disposition of mind that make us to believe that we can't do what white people do, we can't do what Japanese and Korean and Chinese people do. We can't do these things. This truth has been trumpeted for over 80 years by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the students of those men. Do something for self. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put on the back page of the Muhammad Speaks, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues that writing. The Muslim program. What the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared with him that this is actually the constitution of the Nation of Islam. What the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. We are at the point in our history, in our sojourn in America, where it has already been demonstrated that the stated points 1, 2, and 3, and I'll abbreviate them, wherein we're asking or we're stating that we want freedom and we want justice and we want equality, well, it's a foregone conclusion that we cannot, will not, get those things, those essentials of life, under the common political, social, and economic framework of America. Therefore, it justifies point number 4. And I'll read point number 4 in totality. Point number 4 states, we want our people in America whose parents and or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe further that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. And this is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's and ours justification for these statements. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, them meaning the white race, after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced. We believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. And I'll stop there. And I invite all who are listening, if you don't have a Final Call newspaper, get a Final Call newspaper and follow us in this subject matter, the time and what must be done. The time is out for our constant protesting for inclusion. The time is out for demanding of the government to come up with some jobs bill which will only satisfy maybe 3 million jobs when there are so many millions that are unemployed. And certainly if there is a jobs bill, my black brother and sister who are listening, you certainly won't be the beneficiary of it. And we cannot get upset with white people if they decide to look out for their family before they look out for our family. We need to get upset with ourselves that we do not look out for our family as other civilized people of the earth do. Self-preservation, they say, is the first law of nature. Well, when I say self, it means the individual self, but it also means the collective self of our people. Charity begins at home. So now look at the results of this insane, persistent protesting to be included in America. Yes, we deserve inclusion, not only inclusion, but we deserve to own it, not just some of it, but all of it. We built this country. We fought, bled, and died to make this country what it is. We worked nearly 300 years without a payday. Can you imagine having just a few people to work for you and turn over the fruit of their labor and you never have to worry about compensating them, only keeping them alive to continue to do more work for you? We'd be pretty well off, wouldn't we, if we just had 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 and even 1. But can you imagine having millions to do such over a period of 300 years? It is no wonder that America is the greatest country here in America, in the world, although great does not necessarily mean good, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan so clearly has pointed out in past subjects. And so as we await the arrival of our beloved brother, hoping that all is well with him, we want to engage in this dialogue, the time and what must be done, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And having made those opening remarks, as it is our tradition to do, we want to open up the floor to participation from our listening audience. So, Brother Kareem, Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Are there any that wish to participate at this time?
No, sir, not at this point on the phones or in Blog Talk chat, not at this point, no.
Okay, well.
I have my Google open on my phone. I'm going to have to put my mouth away from the phone to ask the question. But, of course, our dearly devoted listener, Lynn, has a question for you, Student Minister James.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. She says, could it be that since the Muslims teach that we are in a strange land, that we don't feel as if we belong here? Minister Farrakhan said we need to leave and get land of our own and have our own nation. But when we look all over the world, where do we belong? We are even rejected by Africa.
I think that's an excellent point, dear sister. I think it is an excellent point. And it is strange to us, this land, in the way it is run and governed, and the socioeconomic principles that we found when we were brought here in this land. But strange as it is, it does not mean that it doesn't belong to us. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we, the original people, are the makers, the owners, the cream of the planet Earth, the gods and goddesses of the universe, and all 196,940,000 square miles of the earth belongs to us. He taught us and teaches us through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that God, Allah, will grant us the kingdom. He'll take the land from those who now are in possession of it and turn it over to his people. This is why the scripture says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So while it is strange, and in fact about it, we encountered some very strange circumstances here, yet the land belongs to us. And in previous broadcasts, the minister stated that the promised land begins in America and goes all the way down or across to the Nile, that rich Nile Valley area, as well as parts of Egypt. Even the land that they call Israel or Palestine, that's ours as well. All of it is ours. So there may be those who don't wish to leave. I mean, we may be forced to leave because it is written that America will burn. It is written. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that it would burn. She's in line for the worst chastisement any people have ever suffered, because she's guilty of the greatest crime any people have ever been guilty of. But while we're here, we must do something where we are for ourselves. We must go to the land. We must unite our nickels, dimes, and dollars and purchase land. While we're here, we still need to eat. While we're here, we still need to be clothed. While we're here, we still need to be sheltered. We still need education. We still need protection. We still need to be able to defend ourselves while we're here. So we may depart according to God's will, but while we're here, we have to do something for ourselves. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan reintroduced the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And while we're here, if we would participate in that economic blueprint, then we'll be well on our way to doing something for ourselves. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in his reintroduction of the economic blueprint, 5 cents a day, totaling 35 cents a week, totaling $18, I believe, a month. And in a year, as there has been calculated to be, 16 million of us, black people, in the workforce, earning some income on some level. If just the 16 million would set aside one nickel a day, every day, every week, every month, for the first year, we will have amassed in our own bank $219,200,000. That's just the first year, and that's just dealing with the 16 million reported to be in the workforce. What about our entertainers? What about our sports figures? What about our political figures? What about those whom God has blessed to excel economically in this society? Certainly, they could spare more than a nickel a day. Why, at the end of 3 years, we would have enough to purchase enough land to begin to start feeding ourselves. And while I'm on that note, I don't care what steps of progress we make, if that step or steps are not inclusive of having land and going to the land and producing the food that we eat, then our progress is doomed to death. Because the enemy has taken hold of the land and the fruit of the land and poisoned it and has decided as a political policy to cull the planet Earth of 2 to 3 billion people. That word cull simply means it's a process that is used when you reference the killing of elephants who might multiply to some degree in a particular area of the world, that they're using up the resources of that particular area, and therefore the group is effectively killing themselves off. So they're culled or killed or depopulated. This is the policy intention and agenda of the United States of America, of Europe, of those satanic minds that sit on top and behind presidents and prime minister and kings and rulers and manipulate them like so many puppets, determining what wars will be fought, when they will be fought, how they will be fought, how they will be financed. They don't care who's the winner because they know that they ultimately are the winner. So they'll finance both sides of the conflict. Perhaps you didn't hear me. Read the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Huh? Get that wonderful historic Savior's Day lecture of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1995. Jesus Saves was the name of it, where he exposed these international bankers. We must read. We must become knowledgeable. And above all, we must unite and participate in this economic blueprint program. I want to thank our sister for her question. But the time is at hand. Thank you, Sister Azizia.
Yes, sir. And we have a question from Curry. He said, where will the land be acquired? And if you don't mind, what about what happened to Kwame Kilpatrick? Minister Farrakhan tried to visit with him. Do you think the minister can help him?
I believe the minister can help anyone willing to accept right guidance. I don't know our brother's full circumstance, and so therefore I can't tell you what happened to him. I heard that they're trying to give our brother 30 years in jail.
He was sentenced to 28 years today.
28 years. Mm-hmm. 28 years. Well, the underlying intention and motive of that sentence and others where black politicians are concerned, dear sister and listening audience, is to discourage black people from ever investing any confidence in black leadership. They want to destroy any role model that might come up. This is why they're so beside themselves with hatred of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because there's nothing they can do to him and about him, although it's their most ardent and desire. I don't know fully what our brother was found guilty of and whether or not, in fact, he was and is guilty. However, I know from the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the intention and motive of the enemy who sentenced him that way, to discourage any hope in any leadership coming from our community. And while I'm on that note, I want to say to my black brothers and sisters who are in some political position, you know, the white man steals, lies, cheats, embezzles every day on every level of political leadership. However, don't look at them and think, well, they're doing it, I can do it too. You can't do it. You won't get away with it. They wrote the laws, and they have the knowledge of loopholes as in the law as to how to escape culpability and subsequent punishment for what they do, but you don't know that. They withhold that knowledge from you, and even if you have that knowledge, they'll change the law just for you. So don't fall into that trap. Yes, they're corrupt, and they're in no moral position to judge Kwame Kilpatrick or any other brother or sister in politics. However, don't you try to do what they do. This is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the restrictive law is our success at any time. And that goes to everyone, including myself and the listening audience. Live right. As much as you know what right is, live according to that. They're setting you up and us up. Don't lie on applications to get that credit line. Don't lie on applications to get that car or that house, you know. Your lawyers will wink at you and say, oh, it's all right, they're never going to check it. And you'll find yourself in front of a job answering to charges of perjury. They're not playing. They're not playing with us. I know sometimes it's difficult, but we have to fight Satan. Let me share with you an experience I had today, a personal experience. I hope you don't mind, but I just want to share it to let you know that when your brother talks to you like this from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I'm not trying to come off as some self-righteous person that's more moral than those of you who are listening. I was in the motor vehicle department renewing my license, And they posed the question to me, have you ever been arrested or convicted of a felony? Now, I've been convicted of a felony, but that was 40 years ago. And in my mind, deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes lying fair-seeming and justify, that began to rise up in my mind. I just be honest with you, because I didn't want anything interfering with getting my license. In Florida, and of course elsewhere, if you don't have a license to drive, you're kind of you're under some difficult hardship. So it rose up in me, but I thought about it with the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, and I said, yes, I was, 40 years ago, actually a little longer than 40 years ago. And she typed it up and put it in, and she said, were your rights restored? And that was a profound question to me. Were your rights restored? I did not even know at the time of my arrest and subsequent conviction that my rights were taken. I didn't even know that. I mean, I wasn't participating in the political arena anyway, but I wasn't even aware that I had lost rights except the right to move about freely because I would be behind bars. But when she said, were your rights restored? I thought about the 13th and 14th Amendment, particularly that 13th Amendment. Oh, that so-called abolished slavery, but with a caveat, except if you had been convicted of a felony. Wow. You know, that hit me kind of hard after a while. And I said, well, yes, my rights were restored. Then I had to sign a paper saying, on pain of perjury. Listen, this is serious, brothers and sisters. On pain of perjury, do you swear or affirm that all of what you told me in this interview is the truth to the best of your knowledge? I said, yes. But how many times have we said yes, and it was really no? Food for thought, brothers and sisters. Food for thought. Thank you for your question.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's all the questions we have for this moment, but we got some more coming.
All praise be to Allah. And Brother Kareem, same thing with you?
Yes, sir. If right now, no one has a hand up.
Okay, excellent. Well, come on, Brother Kareem, Sister Aziza, give us some talking points. You know, this is, you know, I'm going to call on you. You're going to let your brother out be out here with a solo?
Well, I'm going to yield Brother Kareem right now because I'm still trying to pull up these questions on my phone.
All right. And of course, we haven't heard from Brother Akbar yet.
No, sir. I've attempted several more times and got that same message. So I actually sent a message to him with the call-in number. So that's where we're at with that right now.
Okay. Well, Allah is the best knower. But we hope pray that our brother is all right, and I'll check with him after the show if he doesn't come on. I'll check with him after the show to make sure that he's all right. We look forward to seeing him tomorrow in Fort Pierce. He's scheduled to speak there.
Well, I have a question myself, and it's from the last installment of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's weekly series, The Time and What Must Be Done. And my question is this. I mean, you know, basically I had to preface it by saying we know for years that, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said in the broadcast, for years people have mocked the teachings of the history of Yaqub.
Mm-hmm.
They have done that for years. However, of late, from what I understand, as with all the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Caucasian himself now is bearing witness 100% to those teachings. And
that's right.
Just an excerpt from the broadcast. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says this. He says, "The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us the origin of the Caucasian people, that they were grafted from us and they were given dominion and power to rule us, the original people for a limited period of 6,000 years. He taught us how this happened, where it happened, when it happened, and most important, why it happened. You may find this deep scientific information in this monumental book, Message to the Black Man, on pages 112 through 118. The minister then says, guess what? The scientists are now agreeing with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about the time of the white race's appearance on our planet and their nature. And then he goes on to say, oh, so many have mocked and ridiculed Mr. Muhammad's teachings about Yaqub that he said Allah taught him that the white man first appeared 6,000 years ago on an island in the Aegean Sea called Pelon or Patmos. But white scientists are now confirming the reality of this event in their history and this revelation from Allah to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, on that note, my question is this to you, you know, in your view, how you see this. What, when he says most importantly, the minister says most importantly, why it happened, that's it. Why did it happen? Why? What was the purpose in the making of the Caucasian? And why at this particular point in time now are they actually bearing witness to this teaching?
Well, to the second part of your question, they're bearing witness to it because this is the day of the manifestation of defect where Almighty God Allah is making all tongues confess and all knees to bow. They're telling on themselves because this is the fullness of time. We have arrived at that time in our history and the history of the planet that we are on the brink of the destruction of the old and the establishment of the new. Behold, I make all things, not some things, but all things new. But why did God make devil? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I mean, they explain it so wonderfully, both in Message to the Black Man and in these previous broadcasts of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He taught us that the God, the first one who created himself out of the darkness of the universe, had in himself the desire for perfection, but had not yet achieved perfection. But he put into motion a process by which perfection could be achieved. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan poses the question, is Satan a creature? And if he is a creature, that means he's a created thing. And if he's a created thing, then he has had to get his creation from the originator or from the creator. So God created Iblis, he created the devil, he created Satan. Why? Why? Because of the flaw of imperfection. I don't even want to use the word flaw, because I know it may blow some people's mind. Is this brother crazy saying God had a flaw? So let me just say that he was yet in his developmental stages towards perfection. And so, in the early stages of his development, he was possessed of a lower self, a negative self, or even, I'm sorry, I don't wish to hurt anyone's feelings, but an evil aspect of himself as he was in the process of perfecting himself. The Quran teaches us, I am going, I meaning God, not Brother James, but God, Allah, am going to place a ruler in the earth. And then the angels, of course, as it is reported, got excited. Well, what will you place in it except that which will cause mischief in it and the shedding of blood? But realizing who they were addressing, they quickly recanted and said, but we celebrate thy praise and we extol thy holiness, and we're not necessarily questioning you. We know you know what you're doing. And he said, I know what you know not. This ruler in the earth, yes, it's the Caucasian on one level. And there is no doubt about it in his history. He's created or caused mischief and the shedding of blood, and that's an inarguable historic and historical fact of history. But in the deeper sense, the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, he said, in the deeper sense, the ruler that is placed in the earth is actually the mind, the underdeveloped or undeveloped mind being placed in the body that comes from the earth. And then he pointed out, he said, look at your hands and the veins and arteries. He said, they resemble the rivers, lakes, and seas, and oceans, and the veins in a leaf. He said, your bones are as the stones of the earth. Huh? So he said, in the deeper sense, the ruler is the undeveloped God that he's going to place in the earth of our bodies. And ultimately, as we are, as gods and reflections of him, being after him and from him, we will create mischief and cause the shedding of blood, which we have done. But the reason is to give the under or the negative part of himself manifestation, to give it form so that it could express itself and ultimately cause a condition from which one would be raised and taught and developed to become the supreme being, perfecting the creation of Almighty God, the first one. Now please listen, put on your thinking caps. This is the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as it is given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
That one is Master Farad Muhammad. And he made his appearance July 4th, 1930, the long-awaited Mahdi of the Muslims and the Messiah of the Christians. Now, he's made up of the two people. He has the nature of the two people. Even as the God in the beginning had the nature of the two people. Look, you can't bring out of something what is not in it.
That's right.
And if the white man came from the black man, as it is written in Yaqub's history, he came, and being verified by modern-day scientists. Look at, let's read what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in that same installment, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
He said, according to the National Geographic Society, scientists studying DNA have now confirmed Europeans as a people are younger than we thought. This is in an article published April 23, 2013, in National Geographic's Daily News, titled Modern Europe's History Starts in Stone Age, written by Kerr Fahn. Professor Alan Cooper, director of the Australian Center for Ancient DNA at the University of Adelaide, analyzed DNA from ancient skeletons and found that the genetic makeup of modern Europe was established just, listen now, 6,500 years ago. Boy, I'm sorry, I'm reading. I'm reading from my phone. Hold on, I lost my place. Bear with me. Please bear with me. Okay. Now, where was I? Right. According to the National Geographic Daily News article, Professor Cooper said the genetics show that something around that point caused the genetic signatures of previous populations to disappear. However, we don't know what happened or why. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, and the minister continues to teach, that 6,600 years ago, very near 6,500 years, Yaqub began his genetic experimentation or genetic engineering operation to bring the brown germ out of the black man. This brown germ was in the black man from the very beginning, from the very first God. Well, we know he was black because he made himself up out of the darkness. And you cannot make yourself up out of the darkness and come out anything other than black. You certainly can't come out white. Charlton Heston and the other boys notwithstanding. Other scientists have come to the same conclusion, the minister states. Dr. Keith Cheng, a geneticist at the Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine, led a study that shows that the evolution of a gene for skin color and suggests that Europeans lightened up quite recently, perhaps only, here again, 6,000 to 12,000 years ago. Reference an April 20th, 2007 article in Science magazine titled European Skin Turned Pale Only Recently. Gene suggests, volume 316, number 5823, page 364. Dr. Hans Eiberg of the University of Copenhagen confirmed that all blue-eyed humans have a genetic mutation that he says occurred 6,000 to 10,000, there's that six again, to 10,000 years ago. His team found a specific gene known as the OCA2 gene, which, if altered, would result in human beings without melanin in their hair, eyes, or skin color, a condition known as albinism. Reference again, an article, a January 30th, 2008 article in the Telegraph UK titled Blue Eyes, Result of Ancient Genetic Mutation. Blue eye color originated near the Black Sea by Roger Highfield, science editor. Thus, this OCA2 gene, this OCA2 gene seems to have been targeted and manipulated by some force or event around 6,000, there it is again, plus years ago. You know, the minister states, that makes us as Muslims feel real good, and it certainly does. Because
yes,
the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us this, and we have brought it before scholars and scientists, and they mocked us and laughed at us. Also, Dr. Jonathan Pritchett, with other researchers at the University of Chicago, had found where genes appear to have been reshaped by natural selection within the last 5,000 to 15,000 years. What is more natural than taking the lighter from the doctor, isolating the doctor, killing the doctor, and saving the lighter until you get the apex of the brown germ, which, of course, is the Caucasian. All right? Let's read on.
Come on.
Here again, reference March 7, 2006, in the New York Times Science section titled Still Evolving, Human Genes, Tell New Story by Nicholas Wade. Refer to pages 110 and 125 to 126 of Message to the Black Man. Incredibly, the minister stated, Dr. Pritchett estimates that the point in time when the genes of the Asian and European populations were altered was 6,600 years ago, the exact date that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that Mr. Yaqub began his Patmos Island grafting process. And I say all praise is due to Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So the truth is out there, and they are bearing witness to the truth, even if it condemns themselves. It's time. Thank you for your wonderful question, Brother Kareem, and thank you for allowing me that time to respond.
All praise be to Allah. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother James, Lamb wants to know, is that where they get the term three-fifths of a human being and turns it on us?
Is that where they got it? What, was that the question, Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir.
Well, politically, they got it because an argument ensued between the North and South politicians regarding the slave. The political mandate was one man, one vote. So the Southern slave masters wanted to count their slaves, which were plenty, because they wanted to assist them to put themselves in office. And so white folks said, look, nah, you can't use the niggas, if you'll pardon that expression. Well, why couldn't you use them if there's one man, one vote, according to the constitutional law at that time? Well, that tells you that they didn't look at us as men. They didn't look at us as human beings. We were something less than that, and so it was an outrage to even suggest that you can count these Negroes, if you will, and being kind, as men. And they're about to break up into war over this, which eventually they did. However, white folks, and you know something, brothers and sisters, even to today, it doesn't matter how they argue with each other. They can come together where we are concerned. Don't you ever think that you got white friends that will go against their white brothers on your behalf. Maybe some will. I'm not saying that some won't stand up for truth and justice. Some have and some will, but that's not anything to bank on. Please, a word to the wise or to the fool, this should be sufficient. So they came together and decided, yes, look, let's not break up all over this. So we'll call them 3/5 of a man. So you can count them, but you can only count 3/5. The other 2/5 we can't give you. That would make them a whole man. So you can count the 3/5. That's a hell of a thing. Our brother and longtime student minister, companion of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, student minister Abdul Biar Muhammad said something, posed the question, perhaps rhetorically, but to me it was very profound. He said, what did we lose in those 2/5 that they took away from us? And that is some question to ponder. So that's where it came from. Now, they may have looked at their history and, you know, their history, their creation, the wives of them, and maybe they did decide, well, you know, we'll turn the table since, you know, we had something to do with that earlier on. But I can't say that they did, sister, that came from that. This was a political issue. So thank you for your question.
Okay, we also have a question from Sister Gladys. She said, what happened to the desire for black people to have their own? Is that not pride in ownership?
Well, you know, dear sister, there were so many strategies and conspiracies that caused us to become a consumer nation. I think it was 1865, and please, Brother Kareem or Sister Aziza, correct me if I'm wrong. This was when the Emancipation Proclamation was announced, and from that time to, I think it was 1910, we amassed 16 million acres of land. Black people. We had our own businesses, our own towns, as a matter of fact. But Jim Crow came along, and they began to frame laws that prohibited black people to buy land, black people to own land, or even black people to farm the land that they owned. They robbed us of the land, and they engaged in what is called sharecropping, where after we were by law prohibited to own land, prohibited to work our own land. Okay, I just got a text. Excuse me for interrupting the show, but I just got a text. It says, Brother Minister James, Brother Akbar is trying to get in on your show.
Okay.
Let's try to get him in. I don't know what's preventing him from getting in, but we sure want to bring him in.
I'm getting ready to call the number now.
The lines are full.
I'm calling the number now.
Okay, call
him last night.
All right. Hopefully he can come in and take us to the close of our show. We're very happy to hear from him.
Yes, sir.
All praises be to Allah.
And please forgive me, dear sister.
Really, so I'm calling
excuse
his number now.
Excuse me, Brother Green? Okay,
I'm
good,
calling his
good,
number
good.
Now.
Excellent. But there's a final call to my sister who asked the question, what happened to us in terms of doing something for ourselves. In the Final Call newspaper, and let me find the volume and edition. It's in volume number 32, number 47 of August 27, 2013, the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave an installment in The Time and What Must Be Done, explaining how blacks became a consumer nation. I would strongly advise you to get that copy. That again, that's volume 32, number 47, August 27, 2013. This is in part 32 of The Time and What Must Be Done. And facts about it, you can go right to NOI.org and go to the archives, and installment 32, you can hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speak specifically to that question. What happened to us and why we no longer do for self? Okay, how are we doing, huh?
I've called it. This makes the third time I'm calling it.
You're calling your cell phone.
Yes, sir. I'm calling the number I was given. This is the third time I'm calling it at this point.
All right. Let me send him a text indicating that we're trying to reach him that way. He may not have good reception, but let's see. This is from Brother Vibert in Orlando. I'm going to send him a text and then ask Brother Minister Akbar to please text me the number that we can reach him.
Right. Because, like I said, I text him our call-in number. So, okay, yeah, again, nothing. Oh, and that date, brother, was 863.
All right, 863, thank you, beloved.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Excuse us, dear listening audience, but we so much want to get our brother in.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I sent him the text, hopefully.
And we now have a question on the line, actually.
All right, well, let's proceed, but I hope we can get him in. I really do. I hope he's listening so that he'll know we are desperately attempting to get him in.
Yes, sir. Okay. Area code 803, your mic is live.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Brother James and the brothers and sisters. This is Brother Brian Mahan. How you doing, brother?
I'm on top of the world by Allah's grace, brother. And yourself?
Good. Yeah, I spoke to Brother Akbar a little while ago, and yeah, he was trying to get in. I spoke to him maybe about 10 minutes ago before I called in. But I think you sound like you were dealing with some economics when I called in. I don't want to weigh in and short of information, but it sounded like you were dealing with some of the areas that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been dealing with lately, which is
very important
for our listening audience. Because right now we have no choice. You know, we must do for ourselves. You know. And what opportunities that are out there are opportunities that we have to pull from within ourselves and create. And so I just wanted to say that as we try to reach Brother Akbar, as you know, he's down in Florida, dealing with this case of this young man that was killed by the police in Fort Pierce.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Of course, we know that, you know, he'll be speaking on that in Fort Pierce tomorrow. And I hope that if there's those that's listening in the area that can come out to the program. And, of course, this is nothing new. The Final Call has just earlier this month featured a story
yes.
of a young
girl. This is the number.
Oh, praise Allah. Wa alaykum salam. Wonderful, wonderful, brother. Can you hear me, brother minister?
I can hear you. I've been on the line, and every time I was on it, y'all wouldn't let me in. Let me step out where it's not it's noisy. I only can stay on 5 minutes, but I just wanted to say something on the line.
I called
Brian to call you to tell you I was on the line, but y'all wouldn't let me in. Now, was I calling the wrong number or what?
No,
I could hear you.
You may have been encountering some technical difficulty, Brother Minister, because we didn't know. We were in turn calling you several times, trying to reach you, so we don't know what happened until I got a text from Brother Vibert. I got a text, I think this is from Brother Vibert, who said that you were trying to get in, and I texted him back asking him to ask you to provide us with a number to reach you, because obviously you couldn't get through to us, and that certainly wasn't our doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
the
limits are 500, so when it gets over 500, people can't call in. So all praises due to Allah. We're glad to have you back, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to talk fast because I've been on the road and my power, I don't have a power source. I'm sitting with some brothers now. But I heard you, the sister was speaking, and I heard you answer the question and you read to the brother. I mean, I was on all of that time.
Wow.
And then I put one to get into the queue, and I tried to interject, but evidently y'all couldn't hear me because y'all kept on talking. And I said, this is Akbar Muhammad. I'm trying to get in. I'm on the line. And I don't know what the problem was. But let me just say,
very sorry,
Brother James, yeah, I want to say this before, if I get clicked off, I'm sitting outside. There's no power source out here where it's much quiet. We're in Fort Pierce, Florida. And first of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I thank Allah for these blog talk radio shows that Muslims have across the country. And I hope that we can put on the agenda for Savior's Day in Detroit this year. Everybody who has a radio show, whether it's on regular broadcast or blog talk, whatever shows, that we should have a meeting. And so as the right-wing stations and even the Christian right, they have shows all over America, every state I drive through. And being that there's information that we can share with our people, as you were sharing that information tonight with the person that asked you that question, that we can have be on point and where we go and what we want to put out there, such as the minister used the time and what must be done to give direction to where he was at, that is picked up by the leadership and his ministers across the country, and it gives them the talking points. I was blessed to see the minister on Wednesday, and our talking point was on separation. I talked about whether or not America would give us any land, or whether we need to look elsewhere, as the messenger meant, quite naturally. I champion the idea of Africa, where there's plenty of countries that have plenty of land and very small populations, and how the minister's on that. But my point is that on these shows, we have to have a focus that spreads our message among our people. I just sit tonight when I arrived in Fort Pierce. It's Fort Pierce, right?
Yes,
and heard a horrific story about the young man that was killed from his family. And a young white man who was in the meeting, and I met the minister of one of the big churches here. But what happened to this young black brother? Well, he's 40 years old. He was a mature man. But what happened to him was really terrible, and how they handle the black people of this town is definitely, it's like Rodney King. It should be a national story. This man was beat, put in the prison,
had to make an appearance. He was so in bad shape, the judge had to say, we can't listen to him, whatever system they have here. And they said, take him to the hospital. They waited almost 24 hours before he took him to the hospital. And by the time he got there, he died in the hospital. He was beat that bad by police. And he wasn't armed or anything. He just was walked away. It's a long story. But it needs the attention and the focus of our people. And sometimes we get involved in a lot of issues. But for the Muslim community, as I told them in Augusta, Georgia, this past Sunday, that people put us in a corner. The Muslims are not interested. The Muslims are not involved. And in many cases, they're absolutely correct. We're not involved in the social issues that affect our people. And we have to be, because we've been given, by God's permission, a knowledge that we can help our people. We can help them that are challenged with their families. We can help them with young men going to prison, in and out of prison. We can help develop focus in the youth's life. We have the ability to do it by what we've been blessed with and what was revealed to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's proven itself in terms of what it can do to straighten out the lives of young men and women. But if we don't use it, if we spend time in our little mosque, our little church, going back and forth over things that does not have an impact on the suffering of our people across this country. So this blog talk radio show can be a catalyst for that. We have to know what local issues are. And with the Muslim leadership, the ministers, we don't just go to things where they invite us to speak. We're going because we're going to speak. But we have to go and pump hands and see how we can use what we have learned in terms of discipline and organizing and making things happen. We have to take a page. There's a book out called Young Barack Obama. And on the cover of that book, you see him knocking on doors with his political campaign that's centered around what the people in Argyle Gardens in Chicago were challenged with the dump site. So he was looking for a political position, but he couldn't look for that position in a vacuum. He had to attack the ills that were affecting our people. And what we've been blessed with as Muslims, and while Muslims are under tremendous attack, this is the time to show the people really what Muslims can do and what Muslims can accomplish and how Muslims can be helpful. So I just wanted to put that on the table. Inshallah, I hope to be in Tampa with you on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Brother Minister?
It dropped. Call dropped.
Wow. Do you have that number? Can you get him back on that number?
Yes, sir. I'm going to call him. I'm calling it right back now.
Okay, good. Well, Sister Aziza, what we discussed last week and your intention and objective is right on time, because you see what's happening.
Okay, it evidently went straight to voicemail.
Yes, sir.
Well, for that, I'm definitely heartily sorry that we couldn't maintain him for the short time that he was on. But we thank Allah for the words he shared with us, words that go to the heart of the matter, the mission of the resurrection of the dead, how we must use whatever access we have in radio or social media, whatever access we have, to trumpet the truth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that others may grasp this truth and stand up and change the conditions under which we live. He's absolutely right regarding some of us who will stand on the sidelines while because we may not necessarily agree with what our people are protesting about. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we must champion the causes of our people, even if we don't agree with them. And that makes a whole lot of sense if we want them to come to the truth of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We must not ostracize or isolate ourselves, and certainly we can't think that we're better off than the masses of our people when we were just in that condition yesterday. So, Brother Minister, if you're listening, your words, very heartfelt, and I want to thank you again, if you're listening, for championing and spearheading that meeting that you discussed briefly last week when you were with us, and you reiterated it today, and I'm hoping by Allah's grace that the meeting will be held and that Allah will bless us to be a part of it. But we thank you, Brother Minister, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow in Fort Pierce, inshallah. And of course, we're thankful to Almighty God for your presence in Tampa, your anticipated presence in Tampa on Sunday. So we're nearing the last half hour of our show. Boy, we just need to do whatever it is that we must do, that Allah will permit us to do, to overcome these technical difficulties. So let us continue on. And Brother Kareem, if you could, every so often, if you can attempt to reach him again, if he can answer.
Yes, sir.
Although, excuse me, although he did say that his phone
was
running out of power.
Right.
Okay.
In the meantime, you know, I just want to say that, you know, Minister, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad's words, they really hit home with me because, you know, we have to stop being so, and I say this all the time, but we're going to have to stop being so fickle about our associations if we are going to really, really help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this quest. So many of us, what we call house Negroes or house people or whatever, but, you know, if we know, if we believe in the teachings and we believe that we are the owners of the universe, of this world, then we have to act like that. We have to step outside of the box. And
that's
we
right.
have to stop playing politics in our mosque.
That's
you know, because
right.
we have six in one hand and half a dozen in the other. We have some who are here, and I'm not talking house business, I'm just telling the truth. We have some who, you know, are in a popularity contest. And, you know, it's not about that when it comes to saving our people. We need to get out here and save our people. We can't save our people in the mosque. We have to step out of the doors because we are responsible for sharing these teachings with an entire nation and eventually with an entire world. But if we don't expand our thinking, if we don't elevate our thinking into the mindset of Allah, then we're not going to be able to do the work because we don't have the mindset to do the work. So in order for us to be producers, we have to get out here where the work is, and the work is with our people. We
That's
have
right.
some believers, and I'm just telling the truth, we have some believers that don't want to associate with non-believers. But as if you have forgotten that at one time you were a non-believer. So we can't act like that. Those days are over. And I'm tell this younger generation something because I've been around for a little while. You know, when the messenger was among us, I'm sorry, I can't even talk. When he was amongst us, there was a certain code that Muslims in particularly had to follow. there was a great amount of influence in our black communities that were contrary to what the messenger was teaching. So therefore, we had to be very, very careful about our associations because we were so poisoned, we were so sick in our Negroism that we couldn't stand to chance outside influences. However, it's 84 years later, and we cannot stay stagnant on the same method of operation that we started at 83 years ago. We can't. We have to grow. We have to expand. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been all over this world, and we're scared to go out in our own neighborhood. We're scared to talk to the people on the block. We're scared to talk to the people around the corner. But then we call ourselves a nation. So we have to do better. The time is critical. The situation with the young man in Florida is one of many to come. If we don't stand up and love ourselves and love our people enough to say, hey, this is not going to be tolerated. The reason why they do us like that, because we're so ununified. But if we show love and value to one another, they would respect us. And they would think twice before they put their hands on one of us. But what ends up happening is somebody else's problem until it's in our front yard, until it's at our door. Now we want to cry victim. When they do it to one, they do it to us all. Everyone serves as a victim, serves as an example of what they would do to any of us. So, you know, it's time out for all of this. It's time out. The minister has given us 57 years of his life to bring us to a better point, to elevate us to a higher level. We, the foot soldiers, we have to go to work. And not just on lip service. We need to provide a service to our people to save their very lives, and Lord knows the lives of our babies. And that's all I want to say. And thank you, Brother James, for yielding the time.
Brother James? Queen Aziza.
I'm here.
Oh, yes,
okay.
I'm here.
Oh,
can
okay,
hear
okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. And as I was saying, I'm sorry you didn't hear me, but as I was saying, I believe this is the shared sentiment of all of us who are on these radio programs as well as in the listening audience. We just have to be more prolific and open. We must, as the Holy Quran teaches us and as the minister has shared with us, make room in assembly. And he stated that the mosque is not the four walls of any particular building, but the mosque, in fact, is the earth. To that end, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in installment number 38, he gave us instructions to open up the classes to the people, to go to the people and bring them to the MGT class, bring them to the FOI class. Open it up. And he stated, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed us, make all men and boys join the FOI. Well, that's difficult to do if they're blocked from the FOI training. So the minister is well aware of what's going on. His sentiment is, as Brother Minister Akbar shared with us, and that's our sentiment as well. But each of us has to work harder in that regard. We have to be more humble. We have to be more loving and more sincere to the mission. and to our people. So let us improve by the grace of Almighty God, Allah. And one way we can demonstrate our improvement is to pack the mosque this Sunday, as Brother Minister Akbar delivers his address to us. And every Sunday and every time those doors open, let us not come to our meeting places without a guest. And also, let's go beyond those walls. Get out in the street, going door to door, going in the highways and the byways with the Final Call newspaper, being the messengers of the messenger, and get the truth to our people. The minister told us, asked of us to double our efforts. So as we are approaching the last 20 minutes or so of the show, let's go on. Sister Aziza, Brother Kareem, is there any comment, question, or statement that anyone would like to make?
We have a question from Brother Jamal. He says, if we are in Babylon, was it not foretold that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to get survival kits and store food? Has that been forgotten? We need to be storing food now. Even if we start to grow food, it takes a season to do so. We have to eat in the meantime. That's from
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, he answers his own question. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed us to put food away, to store water, to jar or to can foods. I don't know if the sisters have gotten to some degree away from that, the canning and the jarring of foods for storage. But if we are away from it, moving away from it, we need to get back to it. So he's absolutely right. We've got to just get back to the basics. Open up the message to the black man. Open up how to eat to live. Open up our Savior has arrived. Open up these wonderful publications, the Fall of America, publications by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the publications of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the torchlight of for America. Our righteousness in this hour will sustain us. That's another publication of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The many books, articles, and tapes that emanate from both these men. Let's get back to the basics, back to the basic FOI training, back to the basic NGT training. And from what I understand, that message is coming across and is being effective. And the sisters are going to come out with a supplement to How to Eat to Live or something, a book. I don't know actually what it is, but I've heard it mentioned by the minister on a couple of occasions. And I can't wait to see it. However, let's get back to the basics.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I just want to remind my dear sisters of the MGT, you know, we have a responsibility when it comes to the feeding of our families. And I know not all MGT are married and have children, and not all FOI have wives, but we as the women of the Nation of Islam, we are responsible for making sure that our nation, not just our families, but that our nation has the food that it needs. You know, it has to go beyond our personal doors. We have a lot of single brothers. We have a lot of single young sisters. And if anything were to happen, us veteran MGT are responsible for not only the feeding, but also the care of our nation. So I just want to remind my sisters that we have to get back to the basics. We've gotten kind of used to general society where we go to work, we go to school, we have all these other activities, but we need to get back to the essential things that are very important to our nation, and that is health care and diet. So I just wanted to put that out there, Brother James. Thank you.
Thank you, dear sister. And we'd like to hear from our audience if you want to share your comments or questions as we wind down the show. I think Brother Minister Akbar gave us a wonderful premise to close the show out on, and in anticipation, of course, of receiving him tomorrow and Sunday, but it's a wonderful premise. It just brings back to mind those realities that we may have forgotten. Let's get back into it. Dear family, you there?
Yes, I was going through my phone. I don't see any more questions, but Brother Kareem, I think Brother Eugenio had a question in the chat room.
Okay. Oh, here it is. Yes. Yes, he does. And Brother Eugenio's question is this. It's his question. Much has been said about the importance of land ownership, yet we know that most of the seeds to grow fruits and veggies have been tampered with. Do we know of any places where one can obtain good seeds?
Well, I can't answer that. I don't know. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in a general way that we have to go to the land and begin producing our own organic fruit and vegetation or vegetables so that we ultimately could weed out this transgenic seed and get back our organic seeds and then begin to replant until ultimately we weed it out of our land. So we've got to get back to the land. Now, I'm sure there are places where you can go and purchase organic seeds. I don't know exactly where, Brother Eugenio. But that's not something we can't find out. Brother Kareem,
yes,
Sister Aziza, do you have you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I was going to say that, you know, you can always check your organic farms. And let me just tell people this. I know I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence. I know all of us probably know this. But if you live in an area, even if you live in a major city, there are still some areas either within your city or on the outskirts of your city where they have farms. A lot of the farms are raising organic foods. Now, when you go to the grocery store, you're paying for shipping, you're paying for packaging, you're paying for all of that. But farmers are hurting. Farmers are trying to make money. If you can go to their farms and ask them to buy some of their crops. And, of course, it's wholesale. And, you know, depending on what kind of farm it is, whether it's organic or not, you can still save money, but you don't have to deal with the preservatives. You don't have to deal with the processes that they go through to preserve food so it'll last while it's in the grocery store. You can still purchase your food right out of the ground. Yes, you might have to drive a little bit. Yes, you're going to have to wash some vegetables, but it is still more nutritious for you, and it's a lot cheaper. So And you're in Georgia, Brother Eugenio, and I know you can go to the forum. And that's all the info I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Aziza.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. Also, some information that was shared with us on one of Brother Ronnie's programs is the fact that the seeds that you can purchase at, say, one of your small hardwares, like a True Value or places like that, you find them on the little rack. Not the big brand name, but very little known seeds. The little small packages of seeds, they may cost $1, $1.90 or so. The brother shared with us the fact he's a biochemist. I can't remember the brother's name. The fact that those seeds are organic.
Well, that was Brother Victor. Yes, Brother Victor.
Yes, sir. Brother Victor shared that with us the fact that those are organic. And he said one of the ways you can tell is because the GMO seeds are extremely expensive. Simply because, for one, they are producing them to make money. The other thing is it costs money for them to alter these seeds. So the natural seeds are the inexpensive ones.
Hmm. Excellent point. Excellent point. Thank you, Brother Kareem, Sister Aziza.
Yes,
I hope that was helpful to Brother Eugenio.
Yes, sir.
He's still with us. All praise is due to Allah.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. May Allah continue to bless you, dear brother, and your family.
And Brother James, I also, if you would, I would like for you to take a moment to expound on two things, the importance of social media and the roles that we should play and how it helps our people as well as the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. You know, recently, as recent as last Tuesday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that those in what is referred to in the nation as the Twitter army are his best helpers because we are repeating his words. Not that I'm one of his best helpers, but I strive to be a helper. But those of us who tweet are repeating his words, and they're going out globally, internationally. And it has resulted in the minister trending almost every week. He and some of the ministers who tweet are trending on Twitter. It's very important because that's the way our young people are communicating. This is the age of information. They call it the information age, and you know, this is the age where our children are communicating in cyberspace through the medium of cyberspace. And so it's very important, very important. And you can find this in the lesson with the lion in the cage and one of the problems and how fast he was moving. And the question was posed, well, how fast could he move the lion? I guess in pursuit of finding the door of the cage with modern equipment. Well, this is
That's
modern
right.
equipment. You know, and you know, Brother Kareem, the FOI are fast moving, fast thinking, clean inside and out, right down to the modern times.
That's right.
So we have to modernize our effort to get the message out. And that we are doing under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The enemy, of course, on that note, Sister Aziza, never anticipated that what he set up as an avenue through which filth and ignorance and madness could be pervaded or can pervade or be communicated. He didn't anticipate that Allah God would use that same medium to get his word out. And that's what's happening. As I said, this is the day and time of the manifestation of defect and the day and time where all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called by his purpose. Well, this is what's happening. So let us tweet and let us go on Facebook and Instagram and all of these social media outlets, but let us use them in the best manner. And as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan repeatedly warns and instructs us, even if they attack us and him, inasmuch as we love him and it hurts us that people will attack him or attack the nation or attack us, let us not respond in kind. Let us not get down on that low level. Let us argue in the best manner. And I've even heard him say that when they get like that, he said, you don't get involved with them. You leave them to themselves. Argue in the best manner. But it's extremely important that we engage the social media.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother.
You're very welcome, dear sister.
Okay, Brother Kareem, do you have a question?
Me? No, ma'am. I don't have a question. I was just bearing witness. That's all. I didn't have a question at this point. I was trying to look and see if there was anything else. Also, find out why my phone calls are fading in and fading out. I mean, on the screen.
Yeah, we haven't checked. Well, I don't have my computer, but my phone, my Google is just spinning, and my Yahoo won't come up at all. So I'm going to ask you, Brother Kareem, give us a talking point from the time of what must be done.
A talking point from the time of what must be done? Well, I'm very, very pleased, as the minister said, about how they are actually bearing witness to, as he pointed out in part 39, the history of Yaqub, but then also throughout the entire series, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been showing us step by step. I mean, this is something I think I've mentioned before, that no one can say that they don't understand. And I would say, and I'll say it like this, this is my opinion. No one should be able to say that they don't understand, because he is making it so plain.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, if you just give me a second here, because my other phone shut down on me, I had to plug it up. Our modern technology.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Now, there we are. And but here in part 39, right, toward the end. All right, here we go. Okay, that's too big. I can't even read that. All right, here, for the end, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states, okay, all right, he says, in the book of Deuteronomy, the chapter 28, verses 15 and 18, and I would advise you to take and read the whole chapter, the scripture teaches, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep.
But the messenger of God warned us, the real children of Israel, let that which happened to Israel serve as a sign to us. And if we disobey Almighty God, Allah, and His Messiah, the same thing that is happening to Israel will also happen to us. These curses are now taking place because of the things that Jesus prophesied of wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. But the greatest thing that is happening is the natural death of the white race. Now that having been said, and this, the minister saying that, I would ask the question, you know, where do we see now, even right now, among ourselves, these very curses taking place? I mean, I know I've seen it, but I'm asking for your view on that. What are some examples of these very curses taking place right now, today?
Are you asking me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be sure. Well, as the minister stated in last week's installment, where he outlined and underscored, highlighted these statistics dealing with the fertility rate of the European and how it's naturally declining to the point currently that if it continues on this trend, the white race will naturally depopulate. And so as thou hast done, it has been and is being done unto you. And the minister beckoned us to go to this website, www.americaworking, wherein they play a short video entitled The Nation of Islam and Terrorism. And boy, they really do a job on Islam, you know. And I would, again, reiterate the minister's suggestion and encouragement for us to go there. And in the latter part of the video, whoever is narrating it begins to announce these statistics about the decline in the fertility rate of the European and how even though the European's rate of a population is decreasing, yet generally the population is not decreasing. It is because of the influx of Muslims, immigrant Muslims, as well as the growth of Islam through the births of Muslim children to Muslim families. Very interesting statistics. And if you go to the latest Final Call newspaper, you'll find these statistics repeated. Let's see if I can find them before we close out.
Yes, sir.
The minister states, the following are excerpts of the narration for the 9-minute video that you can access on YouTube or on their website, www.americaworking.org/Nation of Islam. According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3 is impossible to reverse because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. As of 2010, the fertility rate in France is 1.8. In England, it's 1.6. In Greece, 1.3. In Germany, 1.3. In Italy, 1.2. In Spain, 1.1. Across
the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility rate is a mere 1.4. Historically, research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it shall cease to exist. Yet the population of the earth is not declining. Why? They answer, Islamic immigration. Then the narrator speaks of Muslim population growth and European fertility rate declines. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France's fertility rate of 1.8 per family, Muslim fertility rate per family 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. In just 37 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslims, and in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslims. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That is one out of every five Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently, in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslims. The government of Belgium has stated that one-third of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 15 years away. The German government has said that the fall of the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. There are 52 million Muslims in Europe today, and that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the narrator says, the numbers tell a similar story. Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to retain and sustain a culture. And Islam is the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 million of those by Islamic immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6, but with the influx of Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America, and today there are over 9 million. You know, Allah says in the Quran, Brother Kareem, He it is who has given us the guidance and the right religion, that it may overcome the religions, all of them, though the polytheists be adverse.
Adverse. That's right.
All praise is due to Allah. And it goes on, and I would encourage our brothers and sisters, our listening and participating audience, go back to NOI.org. The time and what must be done. Make sure you tune in this Saturday, 6 o'clock Central Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for installment 40 of The Time and What Must Be Done. Don't miss it.
you may hear something to save your life. Well, it's 5 minutes after 11, Brother Kareem, Sister Aziza. I want to turn the closing moments over to you. And I want to thank, again, our listening audience. I want to thank Minister Akbar for his brief but powerful participation in the show. I'm so sorry for the technical difficulties, but Allah is the best knower. And we look forward to seeing him, inshallah, tomorrow and Sunday, both in Fort Pierce and Tampa. Thank you again, listening audience. And now I turn the show over to Sister Aziza for our closing announcements.
Yes, sir, and thank you. And, of course, we want to thank our audience listeners, and we want to thank Brother Kareem for stepping up once again. And, of course, through the Minister Akbar Muhammad, and, of course, you, Brother James, our beloved brother and host. And please join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. Central, for Young, Gifted, and Black. On Sunday, we'll be right back here with No Romance Without Finance, our economic development show at 6:30 p.m. On Monday, Brother Kareem will be back on Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. And on Tuesday, Brother Jahad will be here with Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. On Wednesday, join us at 7 p.m. with DJ Black Caesar and Friends. And, of course, next Thursday, yours truly, I'll be back with another intriguing topic at 8 p.m. And on Friday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James Muhammad. So I want to thank all of you. I want you to know that we love you. Thank you, all my family over in Africa, and I'm claiming my new family down there in Australia and the down under. I didn't even know there's black people down there until recently. I'm not going to lie. So I want to thank all of you for all of your love and all of your support. Thank you so, so very much. We do not take you for granted. So
that's
we leave
right.
you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Assalamu alaikum and good night.